Questions have been raised lately about the value of the city's neighborhood boards, and truth be told, most of us don't give them much thought until an issue surfaces within a community. That's what has happened in Manoa, where some residents, in the wake of a unanimous vote from their neighborhood board, have formed an organization called Save Manoa Valley to combat a proposed development on the Paradise Park site in the back of the valley. The Department of the Land and New Natural Resources, DLNR, is holding a hearing today on a proposal that would allow 430,000 visitors a year and 24 buses a day. Dale Kobayashi, chair of the Manoa Neighborhood Board, gave us the background of the protest in a conversation we recorded yesterday.
A lot of the reason that we formed Save Manoa Valley was based on outcry from people in the valley, that this was first became known to people in the valley after the approval was given in October 2014. Hit the news on television in November, so the following month. At that point, people started showing up the neighborhood board meetings and other community meetings speaking out against the park. So once it became apparent that a large part of the population was against the park, we mobilized and formed Save Manoa Valley. I'm the chairman of the Manoa Neighborhood Board. At the time, I was not the chair, but I sat on the board, and it was fairly obvious that a large part of the population was against this. So, and that they always had been. I've lived in the valley since 1965, and the same developers that have a number of different projects on that same property, and there's been a lot of community resistance every time. So it was kind of expected that we would see the same thing. And when that became apparent, we mobilized and decided to oppose the park's plans to build this tourist attraction. And the main points were related to the noise emanating from these attractions that historically have come out of the park, the traffic problems on a very narrow road up there of the 24 tour buses and the 400,000 plus people a year headed up there, as well as questions about the infrastructure in Upper Manoa being able to handle those additional visitors, and some potential issues related to environmental degradation. There's been identified endangered species up there, as well as a history of putting pollutants from the development up there into Manoa Stream.
Well, Dale, I'm curious that this is something that had already won at least a preliminary approval by the time you heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
So nobody in the community knew about this. So they apparently had discussions with DLNR dating all the way back to 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big part of it is one could make a case that people in the valley should have been looking at the DLNR agendas every month and seeing what is being discussed on this, and should have known that this hearing was going to come. But in reality, few people do that. So people in the community had zero idea on what was going down here until it came out in the news. So there was an opportunity for the public to show up in 2014 and address this through testimony with the board in that hearing. Nobody knew that this hearing was going to happen, so there were zero people testifying on behalf of the community. So I think that's something you've seen in other situations similar to this in Hawaii, where there's always a question of how do you let everybody know adequately that this is happening. In a lot of cases, you know, the mechanisms out there, for better or worse, are imperfect.
Obviously, there's another side to this, and I'm just curious at the hearing what the other side is going to say.
So their side has really come out with the same type of issues, that they plan to be good stewards of the valley, that they considered the community. They made presentations to the neighborhood board from 2010 before I joined them. And one of their arguments is that in 2010, the board had favorable comments about the park development. It's a completely different board now, but apparently they were a lot more favorable to the park back then. So that's one of their arguments, is that, well, the neighborhood board, which passed a resolution opposing the park in 2015, that was a resolution that I proposed, is not consistent with actions taken prior in the board.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that the board constitution changes constantly, and what we were in 2010, there's no overlap between that and what the board is made up of now.
Somebody's going to argue that what changed his mind in one direction can go the other way under a new board, right?
Right. So, and I think what needs to be understood is, and I think this is another issue being brought up, is that, you know, what the neighborhood board represents is a collection of, right now we have 17 individuals there. On the average, people in the Manoa board have not been that involved. We have generally about 10 people show up at neighborhood board meetings. So a lot of what transpires there is based on what the board members have desired to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at the way we've tried to approach things now is try to get a lot more community involvement and have our views reflect that of the actual community, where I think when you look at the views that were expressed in the past, I think there were certain supporters on the neighborhood board of Paradise Park as a development historically, and they drove part that agenda to favor the park. Bottom line, Save Manoa Valley had over 1,600 signatures on our petition from people in the valley opposing the park. So I think when you look at the greater population, there's no wavering on this issue. Those members that constitute individual neighborhood boards, yeah, I think you could see some play there.
In terms of a lesson for other communities, it sounds as if you have to monitor pretty closely what's going on in your community, right?
That's a great lesson that I think, and that's why I think the neighborhood boards can be a force for good. Both that, and I think you look to your elected officials to let people know. They typically send out newsletters to constituents. They have legislative update hearings, and there's methods that they can be used to spread word among the community so that, because I think your average person is not there looking at every agenda of the neighborhood board or the DLNR,
yeah,
or looking at the fine print in the back of the classifieds ad in the newspaper to see what's going on.
You might want to think about doing that in the future with this as an object lesson, yeah?
I've personally been doing that. You know, I look at all of these sources now constantly so that I know what's going on. I think that's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the conundrum with the DLNR as far as, you know, they can't run television ads or full-page newspaper ads to let, mm-hmm, everybody know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're only somewhat limited. They can't send letters to everybody in the valley. So, you know, the lack of knowledge about what happened, I don't place that blame with the DLNR. I think they do what they can do, and it's really kind of a question on, you know, getting people involved, as you say, rather than changing the way we disseminate that information.
Dale Kobayashi is the chair of the Manoa Neighborhood Board, and you can learn more about the issue on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.